Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message. Starting a series for the next couple of months on relationships. And the title of this series is Rated R. And the reason why we're calling it Rated R, the R stands for relationships, but we believe that you are owed authentic truth about relationships. We're going to debunk a lot of myths. We're going to make sure that we're able to share with you from a biblical perspective, but also keep it as honest as we can so that it's practical enough for you to use. Am I ringing? No. Oh, you have your, there you go. There you go. One thing that we want to be known for at the Outlet is our love. Really, that's the only thing I ever want to be known for, is that we are a community that genuinely loves, but it's hypocritical of us to love those outside of our household better than we love those who are with us. We treat those who don't live with us better than the ones who have to put up with us on a daily basis. I don't want that to be so. So for the next 8 or so weeks, we are going to cover the foundational pillars of relationships, from communication to sex, yes, Lord, to having.
Let me interject in that one. So we will have a children's church available.
Yeah, we'll let you know
when
you don't want to even bring your children inside of the auditorium, because how did something God created become taboo that the church won't talk about? But yet they have in it, though. So, my thing is, if it's going on, then we need to have some real conversation about it. But it's not just conversation that's going to inspire you. What we want is application to transform you as well. So there are going to be things that you hear starting today that are for you, because we want the quality of your relationships to improve. We're going to talk about home of origin issues. We're going to talk about issues with our parents. We're going to talk about boundaries. We're going to talk about unrealistic expectations. We're going to deal with it all. And we're just asking for your heart to be open. And I'm really looking forward to getting into it. So let's read in Genesis chapter 2, if you have your Bibles. We're also in the YouVersion Bible app as well. You can just search, honestly, the geo tag will either pull up, or you can search events, and you'll be able to find all of our notes. There are going to be some graphs, some charts. And if I could be honest, I've grown up in church pretty much my entire life, but what I'm about to share with you all, I have never heard across the pulpit before. And so the Lord gave some insights, some charts, some illustrations to help bring this point home.
We're going to try to be as visual as possible. So we created some nice charts, hopefully. I don't know. I guess they can draw them, can't they? In their little notepad, if y'all have notepads.
Or I'm a screen, note-taker. Or screenshot them in your notes.
Even
I put
better.
Them in the Bible app, too.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And we said we were going to wait until going into the 10th year of our marriage to be able to talk about relationships and marriage. Number one, we want to make sure that what we're saying actually works. And we also don't want to be hypocritical and pass on something that we don't live and practice ourselves. And so with that will come, we're gonna show a lot of our scars. I'm not gonna be the hero every Sunday. You all will look at me with eyes of, I can't believe you did that. But he or she, without sin, cast the first stone.
I know, that's right.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And I want to say I'm honored to be able to teach with you for the next 8 or so weeks.
We haven't done this. Well, we did this on Facebook. But yeah. It's a little different when it's in person.
I know.
Yeah. It's going to be good. I'm excited.
Amen.
Y'all pray for me while I'm up here. Just stretch hands, pray.
Let's read the word.
Let's.
Genesis 2:18 in New Living Translation, it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Pray your heart is shown to those that are here, that you love them, that you care for them. Lord, may we be transformed. And as the song said, may you be lifted up, Lord, so that all people see is you and you glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. The word alone in Genesis 2:18 has been up for much debate and much conjecture, and there's been a whole lot of definitions on it. So we decided, and this is what you do whenever there's a whole bunch of talk on something, go back to the actual source of what the word is. And in Genesis 2:18, which really promoted the title today, this is kind of like a Netflix-themed series. So the title or the episode, our first episode in the Rated R series, is Home Alone. And we want to deal with what the word alone means in the Bible and how to properly apply what we're learning to our life. And so when it says it's not good for man to be alone, I looked in the Hebrew and I pulled out the Hebrew word for alone. I'm going to spell it for you all because I want to show my linguistic. Yeah, you can't point the microphone. You point the microphone down. That's over. That's it. You know, But then when you got to talk, what you going to do? You going to turn it back on? I'm going to wait for the first time you be talking and nobody hear you.
Okay, I put it back on?
Yeah, because you be talking.
I can't point it to you.
Not down. You know, those are okay. Monitors.
Excuse us, y'all, while we get.
Yeah, we just decided to bring our kitchen talk to church.
Yeah.
Because then. It's just like at home, you're like, I'm not about to say nothing because I'm going to warn you when I start talking.
And then I never do.
So we have a rule because Ashley wants my undivided attention.
Because he's long-winded.
Ma'am. I just have a lot to say.
Uh-huh.
But she says, I want your undivided attention. It's like because I can hear her and do other things because, fellas, we know it's about to be long anyway. I said, fellas, I'm talking to the men in the building.
The
y'all better not
up.
Raise your hand. Just look forward and say, I don't know what that boy talking about on that stage. Honey, I'd never think that. Like that. And so when I give her my undivided attention, it's like I'm about to say. And
you're doing something?
Yeah, and then I look at you, and then you don't even say anything.
Oh, yeah.
So she'll say, so, babe, okay, I need to talk to you.
And then I'll start doing something else.
And I'm like, I gave you my life. Like, so then she'll say, okay, so I'm going to warn you when I want to have a long conversation.
Yes.
She doesn't warn me. She just starts. And so I'm.
By the time I'm warning you, I done went on to the next thing. Yeah, my mind.
And so then I'm back to the you're not listening. It's like, I didn't know I was supposed to listen.
This is not the sermon for today.
It is not. We're giving y'all just stuff down the road, and we'll tell you how we work through that too. But I want to show you all the Hebrew word for the word alone, and I want to spell it because I want you all to see how much we study, okay? The Hebrew word for alone is spelled B-A-D. That's it. Mm-hmm. Bad.
Yeah.
In the Hebrew.
So if you read it, it says, it is not good for the man to be bad. If you read it in its Hebrew.
Yeah, it's not good for the man to be bad.
Uh-huh.
And here in this term and in Genesis, what you're able to do is you're able to switch the properties. So what it's talking about, it's not good for the man. It's not specifically in this moment talking about man, male alone. It's talking about species, human. It's not good for humans to be alone. It's not good for humans to be bad. I will make a helper who is just right for him or them. So no matter what season we are in life, because this is taught sometimes from a perspective, which it can be in context, of only marriage, which means, and it gives the implication that if I'm not married, then I'm alone, and that's bad. But that's not what the context was actually saying. So really the first point that we want to talk about is the word alone or bad there means isolation. And it's isolation due to insecurity and the fear of being hurt. So it's not good for us to create boundaries rooted in our insecurity and in our fear of being vulnerable with someone else.
And when you say it like that, it doesn't become a single thing. That could be a married thing.
So the quote the Lord really gave me for this message today is, just because I'm single doesn't mean I'm lonely. Mm-hmm. But just because I'm married doesn't mean I'm not. So loneliness is a people issue, not a if you're single or if you're married issue. So we've got to deal now with loneliness or isolation and separate it from being alone or all one or whole. So in the American understanding of alone, we immediately think isolation. But in the biblical interpretation of alone, it's more so about being completely far removed from human interaction.
Another word we say for that is solitude. And there are some different meditations out there. I don't know, maybe yoga does this, but it's you meditate in silence and solitude, right? But that's not just to be an exercise practice. That's to be a practice we do every day with the Lord, where we're experiencing silence and solitude with him, right?
Because solitude is not isolation.
No.
Because when I am by myself, apart from my wife, God is always with me. Which means that although I am alone, I'm not isolated, because Romans 8:31 says, if God be for you, then who can be against you? But we have to properly place our valuation, our worth, our estimation, not in, does this person like me? Does this person want me? What's going on in my life? How do I feel? That is not where we derive our worth. Our worth can only come from God. So let's see. I want to go ahead and let's go to Galatians, rather. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. I want to show you attention to help define what it means to be whole, complete in God versus being in isolation away from any and everyone else. We need to separate the two. And so in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should harshly judge them and make sure they don't do it again.
Is that what it said?
It's not what it's saying. It says, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back on the right path. Why? And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Quick interjection. Be mindful of who you're judging. Because often the things you judge in others are the things, very things you're guilty of in yourself. And so before you render judgment, before you cast judgment onto someone else or something else, or you make an interpretation based off of something you thought someone did without having the full nature and motive behind what they did, be mindful so that you don't dance yourself up on the top of a glass pyramid that one rock will knock you down, and it's a long way down. Because anytime you grandstand, you put yourself on such a pedestal and you trust in your own ability to keep yourself up here. Mm-hmm. But your estimation of yourself has to only be that I am who I am because of the grace of God that has enabled me to do the things that I've done. And so although it may be hard to hold back judgment, it's best for your long-term sustainability to not put your mouth on other people, because the very things you're saying about someone else, you will be held accountable for when you do yourself. So it's important. Let's be a community that does not judge others. Verse 2. So it says to share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. And the word burden, and anytime we see the word burden or the word load, those are nautical terms, where in that time they used to carry precious cargo over sea. And every ship was given a load that they were to carry. But any amount of that load that was heavier than the allotted limit for that ship became a burden to that ship. And if they did not properly allocate the weight, the ship would begin to sink. So the excess load is something that's called a burden. And so what Christ is asking all of us to do, and we're seeing this tension here, is that it's not good for us to be in isolation, but at the same time, we are requested, and really by the law of Christ, to obey the law of Christ, are requested to help others in carrying their burden. And so I want to introduce to you what I call the tensions of loneliness. If I could have the people who are part of the analogy to come up on stage while I'm explaining this. I want to show you the tensions of loneliness. You see, loneliness is right in the middle, because the feelings are always present for us and to us. And so we have to know, when we're feeling lonely, how do I handle these things? Because if you come to church long enough, you hear two things. You need to spend time with God. You all have heard that in church. But then church is always asking you to do life with others. What we have to be cognizant of is that all of us were created differently, and each of us in our personalities, we have certain bends, or we have certain things that we go to and do more. So for the extroverts, when I say, hey, turn around and tell two people where you're from, the extroverts are like, yes, people, yes. The introvert is like, no, I don't want to talk to anybody right now.
Yeah, I think for the introverts, it's probably one of the most awkwardest things you can do. Turn to your neighbor. Oh, we can't stand the introvert. We cannot stand those things. So
can you stand over on that side? Because yeah, that actually represents you. It you does. Actually are your quiet time with,
yes,
God.
Yes.
For me, life with others. Yesterday, I had a list of things to do.
Y'all, the to-do list was out the wazoo, and they were important things.
And so our life group director, Janine, started sending us pictures from the Fit Life event that was doing rock climbing, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, this was amazing, I'm having so much fun. And the extrovert in me was like, no, I'm missing out. So what I, yes, did from Southwest Atlanta was, Ashley, forget the errand list, get in the car, we need to drive to Kennesaw because I need to see people.
Yes.
And she is like, are you serious? Not because the introvert doesn't like people. Yeah. It's the introvert gets their energy,
yes,
from being in solitude, mm-hmm, with God. Me, y'all, this is great. Seeing all y'all today. I'm so happy after service. Like, yeah, let me say hi. Let me say hi. Let me say hi. That is me.
Yes, and so if you have this in a marriage dynamic, it can be very interesting.
Talk about it.
Yes, because so when I'm gonna tell on us when we first got married. When we first got married, y'all, I think we wanted to choke each other about every day, just because.
How?
He was so extroverted, y'all. We had a one-bedroom apartment. How big was that apartment, Bay?
800 square feet.
Y'all, it was so little.
Oh, no. You're talking about the first apartment.
The first one.
Oh, real quick. There were some envelopes on the stage. Did you see them? James needs those envelopes, the whole stack. All right. So that apartment, no. Because we were poor when we first got married. No. Y'all don't understand.
We had one bedroom.
500 square foot apartment.
It was little.
It was really all little. I could afford.
Yeah. Oh, I was proud of my little apartment, honey. I was proud.
Oh, I was proud of my little apartment, too.
Let me tell y'all.
Because I did what?
What'd you do?
At that little apartment.
Oh, y'all. So you were speaking somewhere.
That's right. We were doing campus ministry at the Jackson State University. Don't get it twisted. Thank you. Don't worry.
So.
Okay. Well, hey, you know what? You're at church. You're listening to Jackson State.
Oh, no. So he's sitting here talking. At the end of his message, he goes, "Everybody's invited to our house," and he just yells out our address.
College students, free food.
We didn't know half these people. So here we are, and y'all, they showed up.
We have folk on top of folk on top of folk, and I'm like, "Yes, people!" And
they
Ashley's
like,
"No, my house!"
They were everywhere. Then we had to feed them. It was like a 2 fish, 5 loaves kind of thing. I don't know how the Lord did that.
It was Rotel.
It was.
From Piggly Wiggly.
I'm telling you. We made that thing work. But yeah, so, but when you have that kind of dynamic and you have introvert, extrovert, you have to respect each other's boundaries. And I think one thing we've learned early on is I know his need to go and be with people. I love that about him. So I don't ever hinder him. I'm not that, you know, we have to be careful to hog our spouses.
Or not hog our spouse. You said careful to hog it.
Careful, to be too with me all
the
time.
No, we don't
want
to hog them
to
ourselves.
Yeah, we don't want to hog them to ourselves.
You're mine.
Maybe I didn't say that right. But yeah.
Where are you going?
Yeah, they can't have a life, you know.
Where else do you want to go? What are we doing now? You have to use the restroom? Okay, I'll wait.
No, it would just be really weird. And then, you know, and for him, and for me, I can't be out, you know. He can be out 5 days a week, honey. And
7.
Then 7 days, literally, y'all, and stay with you and have a great time.
Yep.
And so me, I'm like, I need some days to myself. But he's learned that we're not alike in that. And we've learned to respect each other.
Because God calls compatible opposites.
Yeah.
See, if you were expecting someone to be just like you, you wouldn't be looking for someone to be with. So there was something about them that intrigued you enough to say, I'm interested, but we have to be strong enough to accept differences and not allow them to become things that are adversarial to us. Just because it's different doesn't mean it's wrong. Yes. And it doesn't mean you're always right. So what my wife is saying is the beauty is because if she's left isolated, she could be only dealing with solitude toward God. Yeah. If I'm left alone, I actually can be isolated with people. Have you ever been at a party full of people and felt like I don't fit in here? Mm-hmm. So the proximity to people is not the solution to isolation. So that myth of I need someone because I'm just so lonely, it doesn't bear out in every circumstance. It's an internal condition. And so there's a tension where I have life with others, I have these feelings of loneliness, and I have this solitude, and I'm trying to work multiple things at one time while we're standing up here. All right, so what happens is, if I allowed my wife to only do what she as an introvert loves to do, she will spend all the time in the world with the Lord, but still be experiencing feelings of loneliness. Mm-hmm. So praying doesn't cure. Praying alone doesn't cure the feelings of loneliness. That shocked some of your theology right there, because all they said was, just take it to Jesus.
Take it to the Lord.
We're going
to
show you why that's not the complete answer. For me, if my wife left me to just hang out with people, I could be helping everyone out. I could be the life of the party. I could be listening to everybody. But then when I leave from them, I could go back to feeling lonely. So how do I escape those feelings of loneliness? I have these gentlemen up here, and James Bell, leader of the Fit Life Group, he's going to represent God in our solitude with God. And I have these wonderful gentlemen here who represent how I enjoy doing life with others. As I said before, if all my wife does is spend time in solitude with God, or if all I did was spend time in, don't get them yet, solitude with God, that can promote loneliness. If all I do is hang out with others, that could promote loneliness. Why does that promote loneliness? You see, what we don't take into consideration is that every time you get around people, let me be honest, I'm going to ask you all to consider finding people that you can do life with. I am going to ask you all to consider finding opportunities that you can give back to the community. But at the same time, I don't want to lie to you and say that that doesn't come with problems. That doesn't come with different personalities, because it does. So when we're hanging out with people, people bring baggage. And so when I'm hanging out with them, they're talking to me. I'm talking to them, but they're passing on what they have with me. And so I'm just hanging out with everybody. And so, you know, I've hung out with a couple people, but hey, we're still going. There's still more stuff to do. I got invited out. Yes, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. And then it's just like, you know, but it's okay, because people come to me, and I'm used to that. I'm used to, you know, helping people, you know, do what they need to do. And but then there's some folk in your life that when they come to you, the stuff they be telling you is just heavy. Yeah. Like, it's not normal. It's just like you dread to see their name on the caller ID, because it's like, Lord, look, last time a giraffe ran through the living room, and then when the giraffe ran through the living room, it took down your shingles and your blinds, and then your water was off because your lights didn't work. Oh, Jesus, I can't take it. So now I'm dealing with something that's heavy. And so I feel like, even though I have friends, even though my social media is popping, even though everything is going right, you know, I'm not spending weekends alone, but I'm just so heavy on the verge of breaking down. And I just don't know, because I get out, I do all I know to do, but I feel like I'm just so alone, and I've got the weight of the world on my shoulders. Mm-hmm. Take these boxes back real quick, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no, not that one. Take yours back. No, whatever one you gave me, take. I'm not done. This ain't done. This ain't the end. Oh, this ain't the end, because that's the extrovert. But I'm about to talk about y'all introverts, too. That's what we about to talk about. We about to talk about y'all introverts right now. So introverts, so, you know, the statement, it's just me and God. That's all I need. That's all I need. I don't need no church. Yep. I don't need nobody telling me what to do. I could read my own Bible. I could turn on all my favorite preachers who don't hold me accountable so I can get the word, but I don't need to be held accountable for nothing I hear. But I'm going to get all this word. I'm going to spend my time with God. Yep. I got my music. I got everything. I got the word. I got my journal. I'm straight. So, because every good and perfect thing comes from above. So I spend time with God. He's constantly giving me brand new revelations every single day. He's constantly showing me my purpose and everything. So I'm spending more time with God, and oh, he just doubled up on me. And it's like every time I turn around, he keep on blessing me. And then, you know, it's just so good what I've been hearing. Y'all got to know the stuff I've been hearing in my personal time with God. And I'm just on a new level right now because of all these things that I'm hearing. And I just thank God. I'm just going to come back and just get everything you have. I want everything you have for me. Oh, God, I praise you. But I feel lonely because I'm gifted, I'm blessed, and I don't know what to do with it. So I'm called, but I feel isolated, and I don't feel fulfilled. I feel like no one understands what I'm going through. That's why I pervert revelation and tell people it's lonely at the top. No, it's insecure at the top. Life was never meant to be lonely. Christ, our perfect example. You were telling me about just what you were noticing with Christ, and how he operated. with his disciples?
Oh, yes. You have to tell me. I said a lot of stuff. So, yes. But this is true. You can sit on a lot of gifts, and we know that God is urging us to use those gifts. I think Tom said it last week. A gift is not to be sat on the shelf and just, oh, isn't that pretty? Isn't that nice? He gives you gifts to use. And so each one of us has gifts, and the thing is, what are we doing with the gifts that God's given us? Because we have to ask ourselves this question. But I was looking at the life of Jesus, and you can look all throughout the Gospels, and every single time, you know, he had his clique, right? He had the disciples. They rolled deep. It was them 12. They rolled deep. But he always used to go away and pray. And he's 100% God, but 100% man. Y'all, if Jesus had to spend that solitude time, how much more? How much more do we? And so you have to think, yes, he was going. And I imagine during that time, he was just communing with the Lord. Lord, what do you have for me? Who am I? Who have you called me to be? What, you know, all this revelation, because he was still 100% man.
That's right.
Does that make sense? So, yes, he was God, but he was man, and he was in an earthly suit, getting revelation from God as well, and going back with his gifts to his disciples to then teach them, grow them, develop them. And so there is this cyclical thing that has to happen that's healthy. And if you find yourself stagnant on one side or the other, because we're at different extremes here, total polar opposites. But on either ditch you go, it's a ditch, right? And it's no health in between there.
So let me close by explaining how this all works together, okay? We're definitely not done with this Home Alone topic. So what we decided is every Tuesday after Sunday, we're going to talk about it on our online Bible study that we hold at two places. We hold it on Zoom, which is the most preferred method. If you go to our website, Tuesday night, 8 p.m., click on online Bible study. It'll open up for you, and you can click and get on Zoom, hear the word, and be a part of the discussion. That's the first thing. Second thing is you can find it on Facebook, on the Outlet community. We're going to continue, after I'm done explaining this, the other half of this, which you...
There's so much more.
It's so much more about loneliness, because we don't talk to our churches about loneliness. What we told our singles is, or unmarried people, is if you're unmarried, then you need to not have any boundaries and wear yourself out for Jesus, and that's how you're going to find somebody. And that's a doggone lie, because the majority of people find who they're with or get discovered outside of the church for the majority of the time, whether it be online, whether it be at networking events, or whether it's where the people are.
And not only that, honey, I will tell you, some of these churches have you so run down, you ain't got no personal life to meet nobody else,
so
right?
Now you bitter, but blessed, but still bitter because the church didn't wore you out. You need to be here and do this. There's a reason why we don't keep our church calendar with a whole bunch of stuff. I want y'all to go have some fun. Yeah, I said it. I said fun at church. Yes. Some of y'all don't. Y'all so saved. Y'all ain't laughed. Y'all ain't had a good time. Y'all ain't enjoyed life. Anytime you think fun, you think sin. No, whoever told you that was in sin. God in his presence is fullness of joy. Gotta stop being so stuck up. That's why nobody want to talk to you, because you don't know how to have a real conversation. That's why it's rated R, doggone it. I am tired of the church keeping people in bondage.
Yes.
I'm tired. Because I'm watching people's lives. I'm watching men, good, solid men, not step to a woman that I know God has called them to be with, because they've been beat down so much across the pulpit that they feel like they're not worthy enough to step to her. Let me tell you something. Every man comes with some assembly required. So I'm going to go ahead and let you know ahead of time that everything you see on social media might have a filter to it. The movie has a script to it. Life has some wisdom to it, which comes from God. But every man is raw materials. And if you could just have enough patience and work with them. Now, let me balance that. The older you are, fellas, the more you need to be assembled.
Right.
So let me talk to you about that. Because if you still ain't put your mixtape out at 40, that mixtape ain't happening. It's not. Give it up. No. That no more. You have no more mixtape. None.
Yeah,
none.
Only
thing you need to do, you need to make a playlist of somebody else's songs. Let that be your mixtape. Be some DJ Slay, whatever you gotta be. But your mixtape life is over. You need to have some scruples about it. If you're over 40, you need to be able to carry at least one utility. You have to do that. But when you're younger, you have to be able to understand that look. This man y'all see up here, I ain't come ready made. I didn't. I thank God for a woman like that because she helped me a whole bunch.
Yeah, we were all faith and potential when we first got married.
That's right. That's right. I ain't have it all together. I ain't gonna lie to you. I did not have it all together. In fact, my first date with her was in a blue minivan.
He pulled up in a minivan.
It wasn't even mine. It was my godfather's minivan. The second date, I couldn't get the minivan, so I had the 1982 Buick Chrysler New Yorker. That's right. The door on her side would not shut. So we hit a speed bump in her neighborhood leaving out, and her door flew open. And so when her door flew open, I had to reach across and get it. She thought I was already going for third base before we got out the neighborhood. So she slapped my hand. I said, no, woman, this hand gonna save your life. Don't you slap this hand.
Oh, y'all.
So we ain't start right here. And we'll hopefully get into more of it as we talk. But let me tell y'all about how this works. So we can go home because it's hashtag Falcon rules. They're playing today, so I need to. That's right. Listen. The Falcons are playing. We got an agreement. Church is gonna be out by 11:30. I got it. I don't really care about nobody's football team because I live in Detroit. I'm used to losing. It's the Falcon fans that every year feel like we're gonna win 10 games. Oh, okay. I digress. How does this work? So. Let's just say I'm in the middle. I'm starting to experience feelings of loneliness. I feel like I'm alone. I feel like I'm by myself. All right, we all feel that way at times. All right? I feel that way at times. But feeling is not truth. So this is what you do when you feel lonely. I need to go and have solitude with God, which means I need to have alone, not isolated, alone, just me. Which means everything that I have needs to be shut off if it's going to distract me from being with God. And so I thank God for the outlet because we have things set up so that you can have those moments as like a kickstart to your personal life. Yeah. So we have Recharge on Saturday mornings where it's a Zoom link and all you got to do is just hit the link and it opens up on your phone and you can pray with the whole church. Or you can come early at 9:30 and just get that quick boost. Some of us need just a quick start. Like, you know, when I can't believe I'm saying this in front of you. So there are times I do well fitness-wise, and there are times I don't. There are times I go to the gym consistently, and there are times I don't. And I used to, when I fell off the wagon, I used to just say, oh, you know what? I'm just going to be fat and ugly. You know, I don't care. I ain't doing this.
Oh, my gosh.
But I've learned that all it takes is just one step in the right direction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I just was, every time I feel like I've gotten off, especially after vacation, Lord have mercy. Take the right step. So that means that this meal is not going to have any carbs in it whatsoever. No outside excess artificial sugars. This one meal. I'm going to start at this one meal. But then that one meal leads to two meals. Then those two meals lead to me walking. But then that walking leads to me jogging. Then that jogging leads to me running. But with the one decision to take extra carbs out of one meal over a period of time leads to the majority of meals with no excess carbs, not that venti. All right, that has a whole bunch of sugar, and I'm enjoying it. But it leads to a holistic lifestyle. So I start with just that spending time with God. I go to Recharge. Next week, we're offering leadership development at 9. So if you're a person, you like to grow yourself. If you show up at 9 a.m., you're going to be able to get leader developed as a leader so that not only can you be great here, I really want you to be great where you are. So we've got free courses. Look, If we can give it away, we are going to give it away. I have learned that I don't really care about material things. Let me be honest. Those things will find you. I care about not what we're building. I care about who we're building. And I've learned in just 16 months that when you build people and when you build communities, all that other stuff finds you. So I'm vested in your development. I'm vested in your growth. So you go to leadership development. You end up going to All Access to find out, man, how can I be a part of what you're doing? You end up taking a course or a class, continuing education. You read a book the Lord leads you to read. You spend some time. You do a book study. I mean, all these things you do. And so now you have these gifts. So I've started in the circle. I felt lonely. Now I started the circle with the solitude to God. But he didn't intend me just to be blessed by myself. So when I go and do life with others, because it takes two, no matter if you're introverted or extroverted, you need solitude with God, but you need to find ways to do life with others. Yes. So I am able to do life. I ain't going to start on the heavy stuff. I need to start down here. So everything God gave me in my quiet time, I'm able to go and exchange it for what I'm carrying by being in relationship.
And this is that scripture, iron sharpening iron. You ever heard that scripture? And it's really for when people have their weights and their heaviness and their burdens and they come to you, you have some substance to give to them.
So we're going to work together. I'm going to have the person who always giving me heavy stuff. They're going to understand that I got heavy stuff too. And we're going to put our stuff together to be able to carry it properly. And they're able to receive something that God would have for them. And so now, you may be the leader. You may be pulled on. You may be the mother. You may be the teacher. You may be the business owner. You may be pulled on by everybody in your family. You may be the one that everyone goes to, and you every day, this is what you look like at the end of the day. But as you see, that's a circle. So I say, God, these weights, these problems, they don't belong to me. Yep. They belong to you. And so now I have this cycle of solitude with God. So spending alone time with God is for me to take all the weight that came from me having to do life with others, and I now take it to someone who I know can carry the weight for me. Yes. And because I'm being replenished, I still have more to give, and now I don't have any weight. And so our heart is that when you're feeling lonely, you spend time with God, but then you find ways to do life with others. You spend time with God, but then you find ways to do life with others. You spend time with God, and you find ways to do life with others. Take an inventory of your life. This is not for us or in the church. This is for you. Where are you selling yourself short and leaving yourself an opportunity to stay in the pit of loneliness?
And honestly, when we think about the feelings of loneliness, I'm going to just tell it to you straight. There is nothing any other person can give you that can validate you. And even if you're an extrovert and you find yourself wanting to hang out with everybody and be around everybody, it doesn't feel what's inside, because that's an internal thing. Y'all, only the Lord can fill that void in our hearts. Showing us who we are, showing us what we have, showing us how to get to where we're trying to go. Only he can do that. And anytime you leave that up to people to be God, that's an unrealistic expectation. That's like wanting a two-year-old to drive a car for you. It's not gonna happen. So we've got to put our expectations in alignment. We've got to realize that it's God who wants to download into us only things that he can. And as we're giving these gifts out, it's just a gift to be with him.
That's right.
Where he's downloading. And praise the Lord if you have people that you can shoulder your burdens with. But I always say, and I was telling Recharge this early this morning, I always have one hand up and one hand down. Who are you pulling up, and who's helped pull you up?
Yeah.
And if you're the only one in your circle that's on the top, that's a very unhealthy relationship. So look for those people. Keep your eyes open for someone who can pull you up. That's healthy.
Amen. Thank you all so much. Could you all please stand to your feet?